Nietzsche, Samuel Pepys, Lewis Carroll and Georgette Heyer. They are not names you'd normally link, but they all briefly shared a career indexing, a vital part of a textbook, biography and even in the occasional work of fiction. We rarely think about what goes into creating an index, and in this day and age, surely it's all compiled using a software package. Not so, as Anita Barrow discovers for our Bookmakers series when she explores the worlds of indexing with Mary Russell, a former science teacher and librarian and now award-winning indexer.
One area that's often criticised are cookbooks. They frequently have pretty poor indexes or no index at all.
Oh, I hate that.
To bring about order from chaos is what indexes aim to achieve.
And you know, you flip through it and you've seen this magical-looking apricot thing. You've got the apricots, they're in season, and you go to the index and you can't find it.
And that's because it's called Charlotte something.
Charlotte's favourite crumble. They neglect to tell you that it's predominantly apricots as a base with, the crumble topping.
I spend my days in the endeavour to impose whole correctness, no less.
You come from a science librarian, very ordered, logical background. Mm. You admit that to yourself.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Does that mean your whole life is very ordered?
Definitely not.
Do you have your spice cupboard?
No, it's more where it is easy to obtain with the most juice in the front. So it's not your alphabetical order. It's more my in order of use. Still, that is an order, but not...
I'm going to check.
Not an order that most people think of. But there are some indexes that are like that. They do have their spices A to Z and so on. Mm.
And so what makes a good index?
A good index is one that works. And by that I mean the page numbers refer. You look at the back, you can find an entry for the concept you're looking for. There are page numbers. You turn to those page numbers and you find the information you're looking for. So in many respects, you probably don't even think about it.
So let's go through the process. It's not just a software package. You go through the text, pick out the words.
Yes. So what would happen is an editor or a publisher would contact me because I'm an individual business working from home. They would say, look, in a couple of weeks we've got a book coming up. Are you able to index it? If we have 2 weeks, that's considered generous to do it in. So
it's a fast reading job.
It's a fast reading job, and it's often tighter than 2 weeks. But people think, you could have a search facility and you can find it. But what you find with a search facility is it's not, in fact, finding every reference. For example, if you're writing a book and it deals with staff and employees, you will probably interchange those terms as you write the book. So when you search for the word staff, you're not going to find the bit on staff conditions, perhaps, because they're employment conditions.
So it's concepts often. In indexes also include context.
Yes,
and concepts.
Yes. So the indexer might decide, well, look, that's interchanged a lot. I might actually put everything under staff. So when you look up employees, there's a reference that says see staff and everything is under staff. Or they might say, okay, these terms are actually employment conditions, staff facilities. So you've got both headings, but at the bottom there would be see also employment or under employers, see also staff, so that you're familiar, help the user to find both uses of the term.
It's also been used as an argument against having indexes, though I understand the French... Some French publishers don't like indexes because you can look up the index, take a bit, and it's out of context from the rest of the text.
Yes. There are some languages where there isn't the strong tradition to have indexes, and French is one. But the exception, of course, is Canada, where they're multilingual. So sometimes the poor Canadian indexes have to actually do the index in English and then do it for the French edition.
So you have to read the text, find what the nouns,
sure.
The...
What we would get is what's called the
page
proofs.
And you're going to show me here?
Yes, what we get is a page proof. So it usually comes with some sort of brief. This particular company has a very detailed brief.
So this is a book company and they've actually got a whole...
They've got a very detailed brief. They want a quote in advance. They've told me how much space is available and how for the index, and they've given ideas on the style because that can vary from publishers to publisher.
In this case, it's use capital letters only when necessary. Do not insert a comma after the entry and before its page reference. Insert two character spaces. Okay, so...
It's fair. That's their style. And... then about the alphabetical order and choosing subheadings and so on. So they often include a style sheet, which is probably developed by the editor as to the style of spelling and things that they've used for the book. And then you get the pages.
And, of course, spelling might be an issue if
you're dealing with just an Australian audience, well, then it's often... You know, you pick the Australian spelling. But if you know the book is likely to be used internationally, you've got to be well aware of what the different terms are for a concept in America, for example. So you get the page proofs and you sit down, you start at page one, and we have software. There are three different main indexing software packages, but they all do exactly the same.
We've got a software package here.
You type in the term that you found on page 1 to 2 and you try and put in subheadings. So the first column deals with your main headings, the second column deals with your subheadings, and the third column deals with your pages.
And you've got here things like statistics and descriptive statistics, inferential statistics.
Multivariate statistics.
So there's various sort of... Various, subheadings and, yes. and what have you.
And this software shows you on the left-hand side how that will look in the index.
The index is done at what stage of publishing the book?
Okay, we're right at the very end of the process. The pages have to be set, so they're very set, and it's really...
So this is the page numbers.
The page numbers. We don't want to be told when we're just completing the index...
That you've got potato on page 245 and, in fact, it's actually 248 or something.
Well, that's right. Or they've inserted this big table that they forgot about and all the subsequent pages have moved on. We can use... With this, where the software comes in and it's very easy then to put things in page order and you can see where things have migrated.
Can you imagine how that would have been before the software package?
Well, what they did before was they had cards and they wrote them down on little cards, and my colleagues that were there before all these said they had 26 jars and they'd fling the bit of paper into the appropriate jar and when the book was finished they'd toss out the A jar and put them in alphabetical order and sit down at a typewriter with the carbon paper and be typing it all up. Yes, we breathe a sigh of relief when we... at the modern-day computer software.
Entries placed where each reader may seek them. Abstract concepts are all analysed in elegant style and with headings.
There's evidence of a type of indexing on Egyptian papyrus in the 19th century BC. Medieval herbal texts have precise and detailed indexes, which may include not just the subject, but a separate index for plants. Machiavelli the Elder is believed to have indexed all the names of the History of Rome, a document sadly lost. The indexing craft is usually an anonymous profession, but it's also one that's had its perils and passions. A 16th century British indexer was almost burnt at the stake as a heretic. His index of a biblical concordance, it was suggested, was making theology more easily available to the ordinary person, in the days when priests were seen as the only legitimate intermediary between man and God. A Genevan scholar in the 17th century described the index as the soul of the body. Philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche spent many tedious but productive hours indexing a 24-volume German classical philology. And in the late 19th century, as the women's movement gained momentum, indexing was a profession available to them that could earn up to £125 a year. Award-winning indexer Mary Russell says nowadays it's mainly those who want a midlife career change, or sometimes book editors may combine indexing. A lack of an index can be quite, and in fact it can even be political.
It can be. You could be, in the case of Sarah Palin's biography, it didn't have an index, and there was quite a public outcry over the fact that it didn't have an index, to the extent that the American Society of Indexers gave their first, I think it was, Golden Turkey Award for the lack of indexes.
In fact, I think it was called Misadventures in Indexing.
Oh, isn't that lovely? That in itself caused quite a stir, but it's the concept that indexing is something that's usually, as I said, comes in at the end of the process. There are time constraints, there are financial issues, so things need to be done either cheaply or quickly, and the index is seen as something they can do away with. But there is often a public outcry that there isn't an index. We want an index.
And presumably with a book like Sarah Palin's Tell It All story in the Republican Party, other people are going to, the thing that they'll want to do is look in the index, see if their name is in there.
Of course, that is what happens. And often, well, not often, but occasionally indexers have been asked to censor what they actually index. It's a strong word, but it is effectively what you're doing. You're leaving bits out of the index that are actually in the book.
So taking out the name of the second mistress or
whatever. Oh, well, that's it. Love interests aren't mentioned in the index at all, but there's several juicy bits in the text.
And the popular book by British science journalist Ben Goldacre, I believe, it was called Bad Science, and that was actually, incidentally, he's the nephew of our own ABC Radio National's Robin Williams.
Oh, okay.
And this book dissects a number of cases and issues like, you know, homeopathy, earwax, candling, and he argues for a more rigorous scientific evidence-based process for these kinds of things. And the book was shortlisted for the Samuel Johnson Prize in 2009. But one of the big criticisms was that initially it didn't have an index at all. And then I understand bloggers got up on the case and they made their own index. And and now the new paperback edition has an index. Obviously the point was taken.
That's right. That's often what we say to trainee indexers. It's to find a book that doesn't have an index. Do it as an exercise. Send it to the publisher. You never know, they may be republishing it.
References all integrated in a model of intricateness. Alphabetization is flawless.
What's your favourite indexing moment?
She goes absolutely silent.
That's all right.
Well, anyway. I mean, sometimes people put humour in their indexes, and I'm thinking, now I've got to think of an example, but I can't. But sometimes they twist the meaning of words, and sometimes biographies are really good on that. You can have the hidden meaning in, or double entendre in some of the entries in the index, and they can be quite hilarious when you read down the list of entries for a particular person. I've never really been, well, I don't do many biographies, and I've not really been game to put the twist in. My mistakes are obviously typos or things like that that end up in the index.
So, Mary, when you go to the shop, to the bookstore to buy a book, do you look first at the back of the book?
Yes, of course, see if there's an index. And if it's an Australian one, of course, you'll then flip, and I think it looks good, I then flip to the front and read the fine print to see if I can find out which of my colleagues is recognised for having done the index.
Oh, how do you recognise an indexer? Is that,
well, it's sometimes referred to on all the fine print when you've got the ISBN and the publisher details and the cataloguing and publication data and the editor, and sometimes you get credited as the indexer. Sometimes you wish you weren't because it wasn't your favourite job, but other times it's quite nice just to be acknowledged.
All is accurate, clear and consistent, so why is my life such a mess?
Who Who knew there was an indexing song? That's the Indexer's Lament. And the lyrics to the song were by author and indexer Hazel Bell, with music by Aidan Bell. And before that, you heard indexer Mary Russell, who last year won an international award for the best web index for her A to Z index to the Australian and New Zealand Society of Indexers. We'll put details on our website.